Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that we are here today as children of the living God, with the surety of eternal life, with the surety that our Lord Jesus is coming again as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, with all of His brightness, with all of heaven with Him, Father, and that we are alive will be caught up with the ones that come up from the grave to meet our Lord and to be with Him forever. Oh, Father, we pray that as we study this quarter, the sanctuary service, that we really see where it all points to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died on Calvary's cross for each one of us. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, we know, though, that number one, that God does answer prayers. And prayer is God and man joining hands together for to secure some high end or some purpose. So we know that, and we join with God through communication. And we know that prayer is accomplishing the great results it can be for that. And this is the main thrust of prayer, is to have these our prayers answered. It's our asking and expecting, and God's doing together that brings to pass these things that will happen because of our prayers, either for ourselves or for others, that they will come to pass. We know that prayer changes things, and it changes us, and I pray that prayer has changed each and every one of us today, or we wouldn't be here. We know that for sure, you know. And we know that, truly, that that's a great fact of prayer, that it does change. But also we know that a great many prayers are not answered, and there are several reasons for that there. They fail to accomplish any results, and we know that thousands of prayers go up, but nothing comes down. So we know that we are lacking something there, someplace there. But we see that many people are probably saying, well, prayer is not what you claim for it. We prayed and no answer came. Nothing has changed. And we know that there is, in the same way that people out there saying that Christ has not come yet. And so it's all this years of talking about it, but He has not come. And they're quite right about that, to say that. But we know that there's more to be said about prayer and answers there. Much more to be said. So that the changes are finally, and at the end, are dramatically changed and should change us dramatically too. But we need to be a partner with God in our prayers so that our limits that we have ourselves are raised up and we can stand the hinders that comes through prayer in the plan of prayer that will hinder us each time that we are not using. And there are three hindrances to prayer. There's other more, but I'll talk about three today there. There are things that break the communication with God, who is the source of that changing power that we need. Second, there are things that delay prayer or diminish the results of it, and that things that interfere with the prayers, if we say in the prayer flow. And then there's the great outside hindrance that probably I'll have a sermon later about that to be looked at. But need to go over the first one on hindrance that breaks off the connection between God and man, his human partner. And again, there's a division there of three also. There are three things in the Bible that hinders prayer. One of these is so familiar to us that so many things are repugnant and they become so familiar as there is no way to repel them. And that does happen with us in many times that we see that and we get so familiar with them that we do not make the change that we need. And if you would turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. Isaiah 1, 15. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. What's this saying? What's the problem there? You see that the outstretched hands are soiled. They're actually holding their sin-soiled hands up to the face of God, and God is compelled to look at these things that he hates. So then go to the 59th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3. And here God himself is speaking again. Isaiah 59, 1 through 3. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perseverance. So we see there are things that are happening. Sin is over everything that is in our lives. And then we can go to Psalms 66. Psalms 66. Verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. This was the scripture meditation for today. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And we know that that is true, to see that. Sin of the heart, working in the hands and the life of each one of us. We know that sin hinders prayer. That's the number one thing, that sin hinders prayer. And it's not really surprising for that there. But we can think that of the reverse is a surprise thing, though. And we know that prayer is transaction business with God. But we know that sin is breaking from God. We know that today there's so many ways of communicating with each other here in the world today. But then when one of them is cut off, we can always turn to another one. So we can really usually keep contact with it. But just for sake, let's look at the telephone or the telegraph, which they don't use anymore. It was just a short time ago that they quit doing that and using the telegraph. You know, if the wire is cut at any place, there's no longer able to communicate with each other. The person can set and fret about it, but we know that nothing's going to happen. And what good would it do anyway if he did sit there and fret about it? The wire is cut. There's no communication there. And all the pleading going on would not help anything. You know, the message is run into the ground. And sin has cut that wire in our lives from the communication, that connection with our living God that we can have through prayer from there. So we see that then. Somewhat it says to God, now you're cutting us all out, are you not? I believe that there are consciousness of sinful something in each one of our lives that we have. And we know that it has to be fought and it has to be held out, held to all the time. You need to help hold these sins in our lives down so that they do not take hold and take us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. But it seems that the nearer we get them, man gets to God, we're more keenly conscious of that simple thing that's in our lives that's keeping us from having that relationship that we got, having continual victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that each one of us wants a victory. We want it every time, but yet we may not have that every time. But the Bible tells us that if I'm holding something back in my life that is not right with God, that he abhors it. And if any failing to obey his voice by me, we know that to me that is sin. May not be wrong, or it might be not wrong in itself, it might not be wrong to somebody else. But if that faithful, quiet inner voice that speaks to us and knows what the master would prefer, and I fail to do it, then I know that it's sin in me. So we know that all of us knows that it's sin in us there. We know that that prayer is useless. It's even deceptive in many ways. We know that the truth that we have broken from God, if we had these sins in our life, that we fail to do as God would have us to do. It's like saying that sin's slapping God in the face. It may be polished sin, or it even may be a common sin that we're talking about. But the connection is cut. We no longer have that communication, that connection with our God. But how can we talk to God together if we have done that and we stick to it and we don't even apologize to it? If we allow that broken connection to still be there, Father, and we don't even apologize to it. We know that apologizing would not even help that offense. We cannot talk together if we have that separation that God so desperately wants to talk to us. Working together is out of the question. We need to make sure that we have that connection come back, that wire is spliced back together again. But praying is working together with God. I pray that we're having that relationship there. It's pulling with God in the plans that He has for this world, because He wants to use each and every one in His plans for that. We know that we need to pull out things that are getting in the way of our prayer and our relationship with our God. Or we need to allow God to put things in that is needed to have that relationship. Because we have to, because many are being kept out of the kingdom, out of heaven, because we cannot have that connection with our Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants to bring souls to the kingdom through us. He wants to use each and every one of us to be able to have that relationship and bring souls to the kingdom. And shall we bow and ask forgiveness for our sins out of stubbornness, thwarting the Master's love plan? In which we do many times there. We know that there are lives out there that may be lost because of our hindrance that we have with our God. We know that Satan is working hard every day to keep us from working and doing the work that God has and living the life that we need to have that prayer relationship. That prayer life is so desperately needed. And I know I lack many times that I still need to take more prayer time each day to be with our Lord, to be really effective for God. So we see, and then the second thing that is plainly spoken of that hinders prayer is found in the book of James. And I believe that was our scripture reading. If you turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. You look at that. Look at the last part of verse 2. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not. We can see the dried up lives. We can see the dried up churches and the unsolved problems that we have. We see no piping that runs to the well of living water so that that water can flow out freely. We need that pipe connection there so that, and then God can use that opening into the troubled areas, and He wants to still use us. And then there in verse 3, ye ask and receive not. It's the old story. This same thing of receive, not receiving. And why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust, or in your pleasures, as other translations say. Selfish praying, asking for something just because I want it for myself. We know that that kind of prayer will never work there. Then there's a mother praying for her boy. He's growing toward manhood. He's not yet a Christian. She wants him to honor the family and to honor her. So she prays repeatedly and fervently for what she wanted, what she wants. The prayer is a perfect prayer, rightly offered, and it's been answered many times for her. But the motive may be ugly, selfish, and selfishness showing there, because it can become the foothold of Satan, and the purpose of the prayer is thwarted. Then there's the wife praying that her husband might become a Christian. This could also work the other way, the husband for the wife also. But wants him to be a good Christian, You go to church with me, you know. Perhaps he would be a better husband, be nicer and kinder to me and the family. We would be able to have family worship, family prayer. These prayers are good. But is she thinking of herself? Not to how God might use her husband in winning the world and winning other people back to the Lord Jesus Christ, even with a reduced income or a different social position. But we know that she did not really mean that. Or the minister that is praying for revival in his church, maybe just half thinking about it. I wish we had a good revival in our church. Increased membership, larger attendance, easier finances, maybe even an increase in pay, a better call or appointment. And these don't seem bad at all, really, asking for these things. But we all can see maybe the reason for these prayers might not be answered, because it's not an arbitrary reluctance on God's part to do that and to answer that. But we know that God never fails to us whenever he has a half a chance in working out our prayers and our supplications that we have sent to him. That even though we have faulty conceptions and mixed motives, we know that God can work. But we know that the reason for this lies much deeper. Selfishness gives Satan a foothold in each one of our lives if we are not in a proper prayer mood for Christ and for God to work. He does his best to prevent prayer, and Satan does. Tries to stop that. And when he cannot wholly stop it at all, he spoils the results as best as he can in every way he has. He has so many ways and so many devices to get to us if we are not careful. You know, prayer may be properly offered. And offered for holy personal things, for physical strength, for healing sickness, prayers about loved ones, money needed, even regarding things that not necessarily, but only desirable or enjoyable. For our God is a loving God, that he loves to have us to be able to do these things for us. So we know that there are many things that we need to pray for and that we can pray for that we know that God will answer. But we need to look at other things there. We need to look at the shortest way to God. And the third thing that's spoken of as hindering a prayer is an unforgiving spirit. We know that most of us have had that at one time or another for whatever. Just to speak about prayer and much about forgiveness for each of us in the same with Jesus. He spoke about prayer and forgiveness, but he couples the two together, prayer and forgiveness. Matthew chapter 5, if you would turn there. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. If thou wilt bring thy gift to the altar, that is approaching God in prayer. And there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee. And then verse 24. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. A man with a lamp approaches reverently towards the altar of God. And as he does, flashes across his mind that picture of the man that the difficulty he's having and feeling towards that person. And he feels that the arm tightening around that lamb offering is that memory comes real sharp in his life. And we know that that also has happened to us. But Jesus says, if that be so, lay your lamb right down. Lay the lamb right down and go thy way. We know that the shortest way to God is not towards the altar, but is around by the man's house. We go by the way of the man's house first. First to be reconciled. Keep your preceptive straight. We need to follow the right order. First to be reconciled, not second. And then come and offer the gift. And if we go to chapter 6, the very next chapter there, look at verses 9 through 15. 9 through 15. And we know we're talking here about the Lord's Prayer. And that's it. Jesus giving this thing here and about the prayer in the form of the prayer that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. We can see that it contains seven petitions. And at the close, he stops and emphasizes just one of the seven. The one about forgiveness. So we see that. And then also, chapter 18 of Matthew. Chapter 18 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, 19, verses 19 through 35. Here we see the parable of the unmerciful servant. You see that here. So we see that here. We know that God is talking alone to the disciples here at this time, and talking about prayer. Peter seems to remember the precious remarks about forgiveness in connection with prayer. And he asks that question that we see there. He says, "Master, how many times must I forgive a man? Seven times?" Jesus, for effect, says, "Peter, you haven't caught the idea. Forgiveness is not a question of mathematics, no matter of keeping tabs on somebody. Not seven times, but seven times, 70 times seven. And we know that that is true to continue to forgive our brother. And then verses 23 through 25 is a look at that. Then Jesus gives the parable of the king giving account of his servants. In this parable, Jesus is telling us that we have been forgiven by God, and we see that it is an unsurmountable amount there. It's an unpayable. We cannot pay it. There's no way that we can pay back God what we have done. The beautiful picture that we can see of God that Jesus gives here in this parable. See that? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to sway the heart to make us love the people that we will not love, that we cannot like. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, we can love even our enemies. So we pray that we do that. Jesus' love, when allowed to come into our lives as he means it to, will fill our hearts with pity for that man who had wounded us, and that we will be able to forgive him. We must forgive freely, frankly, generously, even as God has done, if we are to be in prayer touch with God. And I pray that we are, that we have that prayer touch with God for each one. And the word unforgiving, what a group that is, far and wide, far and near. Jealousy, envy, bitterness, the cutting word that hurt so many times. The polished shaft of sarcasm with a poisoned tip. We've all had these things. We know that we need to search ourselves, to search for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I said, sin, selfishness, and an unforgiving spirit that we all may have at one time or another. Words that dig deep into the world, blocking the light from Jesus. And we know that through the Holy Spirit and the constant relationship that we need with God, that we can become servants of the living God. But to have that spiritual atmosphere in a world we know is blocked because of such hindrances that each one of us may have, we're blocking the light of the Lord Jesus Christ so that it can do its work. Also, God's great love plan that he has for this prodigal world to bring it back, that we may be holding it back, and lives are being lost, even when souls shall be saved because of lack of human prayer partners. So we know that some are being lost, and even without this, there are being souls won to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all should be praying. We know that. "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and help me know it. try me and know my innermost, my uttermost thoughts and purposes and ambitions, and help me know them and see what way there be in me that is a grief to thee, and then lead me. And here the prayer may be a purpose as well as a prayer. Lead me out of that way unto thy way, the way everlasting, for Christ's sake, yea, for man's sake too. Yes, the prayer connection with our God that we all need. And I pray that we do have that connection, that we won't allow that wire to be broken, so that we do have that separation. We had to have that togetherness and as members of the church, as children of the living God, to have that connection with God and with each other. So I pray that that unity that we can have will propel us into the kingdom. Our gracious Heavenly Father, yes, that sweet hour of prayer that we may have with thee, that prayer that leads to the altar where we need to fall on our knees, to be before the mercy seat, asking for forgiveness, to ask for forgiveness of our shortcomings, asking for forgiveness of not doing the work that you have asked us to do. But we know through the Holy Spirit that we are able to accomplish much more than we may think we are able to. For if we use the power that you have given us, the power that the Lord Jesus Christ used upon this earth while he was here, we know that we will be successful in bringing souls to the kingdom. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.